Thank you, sir. Well, guys, good morning again. It's so good to see all of you guys today. How's everybody doing today? Good. So good to see you guys. We had a wonderful baby dedication. We love babies here, don't we, Pastor Lance? Guys, we have started a new series of messages about a week ago, actually 1 week ago today. And it's probably, as I've been thinking about it, one of my favorite topics to discuss. The name of this series is called We Are Family, and it's all about spiritual family. And as I begin to think about it this week, it's one of my favorite things to talk about because it's been so impactful into my life. And hopefully today you will see that there is a lot of purpose behind why God has called us to walk together as a spiritual family. And it's a great time to begin a new series like this because, like Pastor Lance said, so many things are going on this time of year. School has started back. A lot of parents said amen to that last week. Amen. He's still saying amen to that. So elementary school started back. Middle school started back. High school has started back. And college is going to be starting back really soon. The NFL preseason has started back. Some people are happy about that. The Cleveland Browns are undefeated, so God is still in the miracle-working business. A lot of people are happy about that. You know, another reason why we're extremely happy is because a lot of routines get settled in this time of year, and a lot of people start to come back to church just naturally as the summer starts to settle down. And really, we've only got 6 weeks left of summertime, which is amazing to say that. But it's also important, and one of the things that I wanted to start off by saying to you is that it is important every time you come to church on a Sunday morning. We actually have talked about this week between Pastor Lance and myself. We actually miss you every single Sunday that you are not in church. And it's an important reason. As I was thinking about it this morning, now, I don't know a lot about making perfume. I don't know anything about making perfume, but I have seen a documentary, so that makes me an expert. And when they make perfume or some types of perfume, they use lots of different flowers, and every flower has an aroma that they bring out. And I wanted you to know this morning, that when you worship God together as a spiritual family, there is an aroma. And the Bible says this, there's a sweet-smelling aroma that lifts up to the nostrils of God. And when you're not here, there's a missing ingredient in that aroma, and it smells different when you're not here. And the reason why is because you have a story. Each and every single one of you has a story that's unique to you, is different than anybody else. And when you begin to praise God because of what God has brought you through, maybe God has kept you alive when the doctor said you should be dead. Or maybe you're holding a baby and the doctor said you're never going to have a baby. Or maybe you're walking and somebody told you that you'll never be able to walk again. Or maybe you're married and the whole world said it is over. Or maybe you went through a divorce and they said, how are you going to make it on your own? And you're still standing and you still have a praise to God that comes out of your mouth. And when we come together, all of those different stories, all of those different examples, they lift up a sweet-smelling aroma to the nostrils of God. And when you're not here, we miss you. We miss you when you're not here. And I'm going to get a little bit in your business. I believe the Spirit of God told me this, but many of you probably think nobody misses me when I'm not here. Jenny talked about that a little bit ago, about how the enemy will whisper to you, and a lot of people will think that if I miss a week or a month, and you know, nobody really notices if I'm not there. That's what the enemy begins to say to a lot of us. And you may begin to think that, and over time you'll begin to think it's not important that I don't show up on a Sunday morning. We're going to see today why it is important, not only for you to show up on a Sunday morning, but the purpose of why we come together as a church. You know, last week, Pastor Lance, he asked a very perplexing question. He said, what would your family look like if you could change something? And he asked this question about, well, what would his family, his parents look like if he could change his parents? And I begin to think about this. He had this mixture of who his mom would be and who his dad would be. And I begin to think about that as well. And I'm a little bit different than Pastor Lance. You had some great answers. He's like Mary Poppins and Sean Connery and great people like that. Well, mine's a little bit different. If I could change my dad, some of you may not know who these people are. You can Google this later. My dad would be a mixture of Shaft, Richard Roundtree Shaft, and Cliff Huxtable. Not Bill Cosby, because he's gone through some stuff. But Cliff Huxtable. If they were to take their DNA and splice that stuff, and that would be a man, that would be my dad. And my mom, many of you may not know these people either, but my mom would be Foxy Brown, Pam Grier, and the old TV show Hazel, the maid who took care of everybody. If I could just mix them together, I would have the perfect DNA, and I think I could be, you know, just have this awesome life. But unfortunately, we can't change who our parents are, can we? And I wrote this down. I wish you would take some notes. We're going to be in our Bible today in Matthew chapter 12. If you could open up your Bible, I would love if you could do that. And we may actually take some notes that you may want to refer to over the course of the next few weeks, actually, or maybe forever. They're going to be pretty powerful. Also, if you have missed any of the messages, you can go back to BethelCommunity.church. They are extremely amazing in this series and all of our previous series. And I would love it if you could write this down as well. Sometimes the family that God gives us is not always the family that we're born into. Sometimes the family that God gives us is not always the family that we are born into. Many of us, or all of us, are born into some family, but sometimes it's like the family later on as we grow up that God puts around us become closer to us, especially when you give your life to Christ. Sometimes it's that family that God brings into your life can feel closer than even your natural family. Now, when I got to be a born-again Christian, when I gave my life to Jesus, my mom had loved Jesus for a long time, so it was a little bit different. We had a greater relationship when I came to Christ. We would pray together, and it was amazing. But other members of my family, they are a hot mess. And as I got closer to Christ, there was a little bit more distance between me and them. And some of you may have noticed this. If you have served Jesus for any amount of time, sometimes it's the people of God are sometimes closer to you than even your family. So we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 12 for a couple of minutes. And just to set this up for you, Jesus had a very busy day. Jesus was always busy doing stuff. He was healing people. He was talking to Pharisees. People were challenging him. Everywhere he went, people wanted something from him. He had a busy day, but all of a sudden, you see this little section. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 12, around verse 46. And Jesus took this break, and he went in the house. And we're going to read it in just a second. But all of a sudden, he was hanging out in this house, and he was teaching people stuff, and there was this knock on the door. Now, a lot of us, we hate knocks on the door in our neighborhood, don't we? We don't know it's a Jehovah's Witness. They're trying to sell some security system or cable, or what are they doing? And so a lot of times, I do it at the house. We go and look through the blinds, don't we? Who is that? And we tell the kids to be quiet, don't we? But there was this knock at the door, and apparently one of the disciples went to the door. And I'm going to give my southern explanation. I try to talk in proper English, but sometimes if I talk long enough, I default into West Tennessee southern slang. And so there was this knock on the door. He opens it up, and who was there? It was Jesus' mom and brothers. And so he yells back at Jesus, said, "Jesus, your mom and them here." Y'all know mom and them. That's how we say it in West Tennessee. Jesus' mama and them was there. And then Jesus yells back. He said, "Who is my mama and them?" We're going to see this in verse 46. It says, "While he was still speaking or talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. And then one of the disciples said to Jesus, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.'" Verse 48, "But Jesus," it says, "he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?'" It's a little interesting that Jesus would say that. "And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples. And he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. He said, all y'all that I'm talking to right now. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sisters and mothers. And you may have read by this before, but this was really a bit of a game changer. This was a change in the way that we are supposed to see other followers of Christ. It was something that was to change the paradigm in how we see other believers. The people in this room are not just casual acquaintances. It's not like going into the gym and you're working out beside somebody, sweating beside somebody, and you mistake their towel for your towel. This is nasty. No, there is a uniquely different relationship. And what Jesus was saying, he wasn't saying that you need to completely disregard your family. Because we know later on that Mary, his mother, was there at the tomb, and we know that she was there all through his life, and at least one of his brothers, James, became a follower of him. So he wasn't saying, get rid of your family. He was really highlighting the fact that there is something unique and special about the people who will follow me. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the purpose of spiritual family. The purpose of spiritual family today. Now, for many of you guys, the idea of church does not have a good reputation. Now, for many of us, we know people outside of this room, they just don't like church. They're like, I love God. A lot of people say, I love Jesus. I love me some Jesus. But I don't like the church. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Matter of fact, I read a statistic one time and it said 1 out of 4 people don't go to church. Not because they're atheist, but because they've been hurt by the church. And there's a lot of people who will say, I love Jesus, I really like God, I love His Word, but I can't stand the people of God. Well, there's a problem with that. And Jeannie alluded to this earlier as well. We are known as the bride of Christ. We are Christ's bride. I'm going to tell you something, some truth about me. If you say you love me but hate my wife, we got a problem. If you say, you know what, you can come to the party, but leave your wife behind, there is a big problem. You have offended me. You have disrespected me. And you know why you disrespected me? It's because I chose her. I chose her to be my bride, to be my wife. Now, here's a big revelation for us today, a big understanding. If you've had a problem with church, or if you know someone that has a problem at church, I want you to rethink or reconsider this idea. Maybe church had a bad day. If you met my wife and you don't like her, I'm going to tell you something might be wrong with you. But if she did say or do something wrong, maybe she had a bad day. Maybe the kids stayed up too late. I don't know. And I would tell you the same thing about church. If you've ever had a bad experience with church, church leaders, not here, but anywhere you've ever been, I want to tell you, maybe church had a bad day. If you know somebody right now and they have a bad opinion about church, I would text them right now and say, you know that thing that you got against the church? Maybe church had a bad day. That is not the example of all of church. Because you had a bad opinion about what someone did or someone said at a particular church, that does not represent all of church. Can someone say amen? So we're going to look at 3 purposes of a spiritual family, especially in our busy lives. The first one is spiritual family reminds us that we are on mission together. See, church reminds us, when I say church, get outside of just the building. When I say church, don't think about 1885 Tiny Town Road. Don't even think about the name, even though names are important. Think about the people. The reason why spiritual family, the people in this church, are important to each other is because we remind each other that we are on mission. And we're on mission. What that means is there are some things that are more important than anything else that we could ever do. All of us have families. All of us have lives. All of us have stuff that we do. We take our kids here. We go see our grandkids. We go to work. We make money. We retire. We go to the lake. We go to the beach. We go to the pool. We do all of these great things. But it's only when we gather together or we're around other believers, we remind people that, you know what, God has a greater mission. Now, we know what that mission here is at Bethel Community Church. There's a little panel that says it over there, that third one, right? It's in Matthew 28. It says, go therefore into all the world, teaching and baptizing, and telling people about him. This is the Great Commission, to go and to tell people about the greatest news that has ever happened in the history of the world. That is our greatest mission. So we might be a doctor or we might be a lawyer, and thank God for doctors and lawyers, and you might be a teacher. Thank God you're going to teach. This generation needs to be taught. But maybe we need to reconsider the fact that the mission, the reason why we're there is not just to teach. The reason why we're a doctor might not just be because God hardwired you to do doctor stuff, but he put you in that position for a greater purpose. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom right now, and you're like, well, my purpose doesn't seem like much. I raise these kids, and I change diapers. But you know what? Maybe you're there not only to do that, which is the greatest job ever, in my opinion, but there's a mission while you're there. Can somebody say amen? Spiritual family reminds us that we are on mission. Number two, spiritual family is the epitome of what a family should be on earth. And notice how I said that, should be. Now, all of us have families. Some of us have what we would consider super great families and some not so stellar. Some of us would cringe at the idea of going to a family reunion. For some of you guys, to go and spend a weekend with family is like torture. But spiritual family, because we have Christ who has redeemed us, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, we should be the epitome. If you don't know what epitome means, it means the prime example, the best possible example of a thing. We should be the best example of a family on this earth. We should be the first ones to forgive. We should be the first ones to love. We should be the first ones, if you're going through a hard time, we should grieve with you. We should mourn with you. If you get a big, great promotion and success, we should be the first ones to say, God did that. That's amazing. We should be the first ones to be there to serve you, to help you. Notice I said we should be. Because sometimes the bride don't act like the bride, does it? Sometimes the bride act like a bridezilla. But we should be. And that's what the Spirit of God challenges us to do. We should be the epitome of what family should be. And if you've noticed that sometimes the church doesn't always act like the best or the epitome of what family should be, maybe we need to check our own self and ask, have we been the epitome of what spiritual family should be? For a lot of us, there's people who are missing in church today. And you might be wondering where that person is or where did that person go. Maybe you should be the one to whip out your phone and to text that person or to ask that person, are you okay? Is everything all right? Can I bring you something? Can I pray for you? This is what spiritual family is supposed to be. You guys got quiet. This is what spiritual family is. Now, wouldn't you want that? Everybody raise your hands. If you weren't here for a few weeks, wouldn't you want somebody who normally sits beside you week after week to question, where did you go? Are you okay? Do you need anything? Is everything all right? This is our job as spiritual family. It's not Pastor Lance's job. This is our job as believers. So number two, a spiritual family is the epitome of what a family on earth should be. And the last one, number three, spiritual family helps to refocus our attention on Christ. Now, it sounds like staying on mission, but this is uniquely different. Because sometimes we need to refocus our attention on Christ. When our lives get so busy or so preoccupied with other stuff, God sometimes will send other people in our lives to remind us that we are off track or off focus. And this is part of the role of spiritual family. Let's think about this for a second. There are times when we can get so busy, so preoccupied with a thing, with our jobs, with our dreams, with school or kids or life, and we have shifted our focus, shifted our attention away maybe from the things of God. And God will tap on our shoulder. He'll knock on our heart. The Holy Spirit of God, this is what He does. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of the judgment to come. And so what the Spirit of God will do is when you start to get off track, He'll whisper to you. He said, I need more time with you. I need you to come and read my word. I love you. Don't forget about me. This is how the Spirit of God, He begins to talk to you. But sometimes we ignore that. Sometimes we stiff arm the Spirit of God. Sometimes we strike a Heisman pose with the Spirit of God. For you guys who don't know it, Heisman pose is like that. And we're like, I hear you, God, but I got stuff I got to do. And so what God does is He will send people in our lives. He will send people who love Jesus. And He will send them in our lives like, what the heck are you doing? Why are you doing that? I thought we was going to church today. Why are you doing that? Well, you said you was coming to Bible study. I thought you loved Jesus. Why are you doing that? And He will send these people because sometimes we will stiff arm the Spirit of God, and God loves you enough to send people in your life. This is spiritual family. And sometimes spiritual family feels a lot like sandpaper, the greedy kind. And what happens when sandpaper rubs you the wrong way? This causes friction. We don't like friction. Matter of fact, we live in a world that hates friction. We hate pain. I heard a radio show one time and they said, people don't even like to see blood anymore. If somebody gets a cut, they want to run to the emergency room for a cut. We don't like pain. We don't like friction. We don't like people coming into our lives and disrupting our lives with bringing us displeasurable thoughts. Somebody say amen. But God will bring spiritual family in our life to refocus our attention on Christ. Because Christ is our true north. And if we forget where our true north is, we will get off course. And if we get off course, we will end up somewhere else. Somewhere where God did not intend us to be. Doing things that God did not intend us to do. Can somebody say amen? And I just want to give you an example. There's a young man that goes to this church, and we had our men's Bible study yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. And we had a great time, a great Bible study. And at the end of the Bible study, this young man, he's been coming to our group for a while. His life has literally been like a roller coaster. And God has gotten his attention. And after our Bible study was over, we moved to a new location. There just happens to be a pool right outside. He said, I know it's time for me to get water baptized. I want to show you this group of men that rallied around him. This is a group of guys that rallied around him. Our guy that got baptized is in the middle. That's Lester Germain. He's been coming to our group for a while, and he's still a knucklehead like all of us. But he has leaned into spiritual family. And he's allowed other men of God to begin the process of rubbing him the wrong way. And when he has stiff-armed the Holy Spirit of God, other men have been brought into his life. And there came a moment yesterday when he just realized, he said, the old me is gone. He said this later on, I am not going back. And I just want you to know, we baptized him right after. Here's a couple of pictures of what happened yesterday morning. We baptized him yesterday. See, this is what spiritual family can do. And the great thing about him, he's not just a regular guy. He is a former soldier. He's a father. He's a husband. And God has been in the process of transforming his life. And God used spiritual family to do that. There is a purpose, but there's also a power behind spiritual family. And I just wanted to tell you, when you walk in spiritual family, it brings unity to the body of Christ. And the Bible says it very clearly, where there is unity, God commands the blessing. How many of you want your life to be blessed? How many of you want the church you attend to be blessed? Well, it happens when we walk in unity. I want you to bring out your little card. We had a little card last week. This is your second pledge card. I just want to read this to you. Now, again, we said this last week. You don't have to turn this in. This is simply for you to consider. This is simply for you to take home. Something for you to internalize. It's simply for you. And we're going to read this. And it says, I will seek to be a source of unity in my church. What does that look like? It means I'm going to do life with other people. I know there are no perfect pastors. Somebody say amen to that. There's no perfect church staff. There's no perfect church members. If there was a perfect church, you would ruin it when you showed up. So would I. And it says, we know there's no perfect people like that. And it says, neither am I. This is where it gets a little dicey, something for you to consider. It says, I will not be a source of gossip or dissension. Dissension is the destruction of unity. But we seek to be known for loving others. There should be an end after known. I know that. I messed up. My bad. Forgive me. But to seek to be known for loving others. It says, one of the greatest contributions I can make is to do all I can in God's power to help keep the church in unity. And this is the reason why. This is how we sum all of this up. The reason why we do a church, this is the reason why God placed this, is so that we can seek unity for the sake of the gospel. Because there is a world who has questions about life and its meaning and its purpose. And everything in this world wants to tell you why life should be like this or like that. We are the only institution on the planet that lifts up the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the world is watching. The world is watching how we get along. And if we can't get along, it says a lot about the unity in the church for the sake of the gospel. If the church can't get along, what does that say about the gospel? If the gospel who delivers us out of darkness, if Christ really died on a cross for us, and now we are brothers and sisters and moms and dads in the Lord because of Jesus, and we're all spiritual family, but yet we have offenses towards each other. We're talking bad about each other. And we spread all that negativity into our community. Why on earth would anybody ever want to go to church? Why would anybody ever want to serve Jesus? His people can't even get along. So this pledge is for you. This is for you to take home, to consider, and for you to decide. You don't have to show it to anybody else. For you to decide. And all I can do in God's power, will I help keep the unity in the church for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord.